الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد: بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: ويطعمون الطعام على حبه مسكينا ويتيما وأسيرا إنما نطعمكم لوجه الله لا نريد منكم جزاء ولا شكورا. صدق الله العظيم. وقد قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: أيها الناس، أفشوا السلام وأطعموا الطعام وصلوا الأرحام وصلوا بالليل والناس نيام تدخلوا الجنة بسلام، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Respected ulama ikram, honorable elders, dear brothers, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Our country sighs relief this week, and after the many weeks of difficulties with regards to the current situation, people expected the worst outcome during this week, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala averted such apprehensions, such anxieties, and alhamdulillah, we still find calm, security and peace in our country as a whole, alhamdulillah. However, as mu'mineen, we are not those, as the idiom says, that we dig our head in the dust, or we keep our heads in the sand. Meaning that time and again, we have events and we have situations, particularly in our country, particularly in our province, that allow us to reflect, introspect, and at times require us to reset the way we are operating our lives, the way we are functioning. And these last few weeks has genuinely caused people to reflect in many avenues of their life. And we are all fully aware of that. And we know the saying of the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that a Muslim and a mu'min is not bitten from the same hole twice. Meaning that if we've gone through certain situations in the past, we've been told about certain things, we've conscientized ourselves about certain of our mistakes, then it's foolhardy for us to repeat them or not to prepare adequately. And we all understand, and we are all fully aware, alhamdulillah, with the way information travels today, no one can claim to be ignorant. And we know one of the worries that we have is that this whole situation will spiral into something more sinister, and this is the whole sentiment of Islamophobia. And we saw that spiraling out of control in the last few days, especially after the President announced the new Deputy Minister of Education. And most of us who are engaged with social media will know this is the platform for spreading this propaganda and spreading this type of sentiment. And as we mentioned, as mu'mineen, we cannot be those who stick our head in the sand and wish away problems and hope it never happens. We have to be fully aware of it. We have to be prepared. And as our ulama tell us, and they've been telling us, that we need to be proactive. In whatever skills each one of us possess, we need to bring it to the table. We need to use the skills that we have, the skill sets we have within our communities. Those who are able to in the social media realm. And mashallah, the youngsters of today are way ahead. If they can channel this, as they call, the keyboard warrior type of mentality to benefit our deen, this will be a great mujahada. And like that, ulama encourage us with regards to becoming more community aware, more community proactive, more aware of the situation in our country and how we can contribute and how we can make an impression. So these are some of the ideas that linger in our mind. And then we look at a beautiful incident, and we look at the seerah of the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for our guidance. Really, the seerah of the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a blueprint for us in every situation, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned, وَمَا يَنْطِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيُّ يُوحَىٰ, that whatever the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned is direct wahi. So we look into the life of the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and a beautiful incident, the incident of Hijrah, the landmark and the watershed event in the history of Islam. Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is entering Madinah Munawwara. And in Madinah Munawwara, there was the chief rabbi, Abdullah bin Salam, was known as Hussein bin Salam. And Abdullah bin Salam in himself, he becomes radiyallahu anhu, and Allah gives, the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gives him basharat on more than one occasion of Jannah. But Abdullah bin Salam is a rabbi, well versed in the Torah. They say Abdullah bin Salam, before he became a Muslim, he used to divide his days into three parts. One, he used to spend time in the synagogue teaching the Torah. The second part of his day was contemplating, and his private time with his ibadah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and reflecting on the Torah. And one part of his day was engaging in his business. So Abdullah bin Salam was very aware about a coming of a prophet. And when he heard this news that Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is coming to Madinah Munawwara, he also waited in anticipation. He mentions that he used to wait at his palm trees. He was a trader in dates. And the day the Nabi of Allah entered Madinah Munawwara, he heard people rushing towards the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he also describes it. And how beautiful it is. Our deen captures. If Abdullah bin Salam was never a mu'min, was never a sahaba, his words would never have been captured. But the system of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the system of our deen, there's an unbroken chain. What Abdullah bin Salam narrated reaches us today in an unbroken chain. Abdullah bin Salam describes the moment that Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam entered Madinah Munawwara. And he says, when the Nabi of Allah entered Madinah Munawwara, my first look at his face, and he says in his words that this is not a face of a liar. And he accepts Islam. And then he narrates. And he narrates this beautiful hadith. And this is again the beauty of our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the beauty of his hadith. We may have mentioned many a times, and we may have heard that the Rasul of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was jawami'ul kalim. That means he used to mention a few words, but there was an ocean of knowledge, an ocean of message. And the way he used to narrate was also palatable. And this particular hadith is beautiful because there is a rhyme. There's a play with words, the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the narrator is Abdullah bin Salam. And what does he say? He says the Nabi of Allah stood up. And this is the first hadith, one of the first public announcements that the Nabi of Allah is making after being forced out of Makkah Mukarramah. He comes to establish a state in Madinah Munawwara. And this is the first words the Nabi of Allah is mentioning in public. He says, Ya ayyuhan nas, afshu salam. O people, make salam widespread. Spread salam. وَأَطْعِمُ الطَّعَامِ And feed the people. وَصِلُوا الْأَرْحَامِ And join family ties. وَصَلُّوا بِاللَّيْلِ وَالنَّاسُ النِّيَامِ And pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at night when people are sleeping. تَدْخُلُوا الْجَنَّةَ بِسَلَامِ You will enter into Jannah in peace. Notice the words, the symmetry of this hadith, the word on salam, and Abdullah bin Salam, also the narrator of this hadith, beautiful. But the crux is in the message. This beautiful hadith, the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions, is remarkable. Because you would think someone who has been forced out of their hometown, establishing a state in Madinah Munawwara, coming to people who are relatively foreign to him, there would be a speak about military intention, building structures of legal system, building structures of governance. But this is the first word of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam knew the importance of building hearts. He knew the importance of building brotherhood. The Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in this hadith, three of the four advices he gives is about building social interaction, building social relationships. The Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the first point he mentions, afshu salam. Afshu means to make it widespread. The Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't mention make salam. The Nabi of Allah used, and everything is deliberate in the speech of the Nabi of Allah. He says, afshu salam. Make salam widespread. Why did the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the commentators of hadith go into detail about describing this? Why did the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mention afshu salam? But just in a nutshell, Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is teaching us that to build a community, we need to build relationships. We need to build brotherhood. We need to build unity. And one of the key ways is via greeting. Why I say this is because the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says also in another beautiful hadith, لا تدخل الجنة لا 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 تدخل لا تؤمن لا تدخل الجنة something to the effect that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that you will not enter Jannah until you believe, and you will not believe until you love each other. Tahab. Then the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, shall I show you in action? Shall I show you something that will bring love between you? He says, afshu salama baynakum. Make salam common amongst you. Greet each other. Beautiful teaching of the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You know, we live in a world that is becoming more and more fragmented. As much as people convince us that we've become more connected via the devices, we live in a world that seems to be endless in fragmenting us, fragmenting communication, fragmenting interaction, human interaction. And at this time, the Nabi of Allah's seerah comes to light. This aspect of greeting people, this aspect of making salam widespread, not just making salam. Why I say that? You know, we often come into the masjid many times in a day. We each one of us need to introspect. We engage in many social platforms. How often when we come in and out of the masjid, how many times have we greeted? How many times we've come into the masjid and gone out and not greeted one person? This is an indictment on us, myself personally, and all of us. We need to introspect. Yet the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is emphasizing to build brotherhood. One of the key ingredients is afshu salam. Make salam widespread. You know, the Sahaba ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'in, that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala placed them to be the companion of the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He chose them. Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhu says, we used to go to the market to implement this hadith. And why we used to go to the market? Just so that we could make the salam widespread. So Abdullah bin Umar, he used to go to the marketplace just to go and find people so he can make salam widespread. Because they understood. They understood that the words of the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam have held a value that is beyond our comprehension at times. And many of us may say, alhamdulillah, you know, I tried to implement salam in my life. We greet people around us. And that's the spirit, yes. But, you know, a Muslim is never stagnant. We are always improving ourselves. So we need to look at ways that we can beautify our salam. We know the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam also mentioned in another hadith, that we must greet those that we know and those that we don't know. Very many times we are very quick and we are very good at greeting our close friends and buddies, especially we meet them after a long while. But the challenge is to greet the person next to you. You came to read salah, you're sitting next to someone, have you looked to your right and to your left, have you made salam to the person? Have we become a dead ummah with regards to this vital ingredients for muhabba, vital ingredients for brotherhood? We can also beautify our salam. The Nabi of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that whenever he spoke to someone, the Nabi of Allah turned his entire gaze to the person. He never spoke to someone over his shoulder. The Nabi of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam directed his entire attention to someone. So the next time we make salam to someone, it's not like a handshake there and a look somewhere else, but we engage someone. We make salam and we beautify our salam with a smile also. These are beautiful psychology principles also. You know, the world of psychology is bursting on how we can become more adept at living in the constraints of this depressing and anxiety-ridden world. But the teachings of the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam are so beautiful. They in itself is an antidote for all these things. The next thing the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he mentions that وَأَطْعِمُ الطَّعَامُ. These are simple things, really. You know, people say, you know, I don't have the capability to, you know, engage in community activism. I don't have the ability on the social media to retort back to comments of propaganda against Islam. But we can start within. أَطْعِمُ الطَّعَامُ. Simple thing. Beyond, it's not beyond the reach of each and every one of us. The Nabi of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam teaches us another building block. Another building block for this Islamic state. He says, أَطْعِمُ الطَّعَامُ. That we should start feeding people. No one can say, I don't have the ability to do this. Why is this so particularly important? The Quran
and hadith speak to us about this. In fact, the beautiful Quranic ayat, وَيُطْعِمُونَ الطَّعَامَ عَلَى حُبِّهِ عَلَى حُبِّهِ مِسْكِينًا وَيَتِيمًا وَأَسِيرًا إِنَّمَا نُطْعِمُكُمْ لِوَجْهِ اللَّهِ لَا نُرِيدُ مِنْكُمْ جَزَاءً وَلَا شُكُورًا. That they feed, وَيُطْعِمُونَ الطَّعَامَ, they feed food to the miskeen, to the poor, yatim, the orphans, those that are in prison. إِنَّمَا نُطْعِمُكُمْ لِوَجْهِ اللَّهِ. And they do this purely for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not wanting any recognition, not wanting anything of this dunya, not wanting about the likes. This is the spirit of a mu'min. This is the spirit that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam imparted to Sahaba ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'in at this important juncture when he stood up in Medina Munawwara to establish the state. And we know that. We know that feeding people, what it does, it naturally gathers people. If you call people for food, there's nobody that will refuse it. And you see rich people interacting with poor people. You'll see the old interacting with the young. You'll see people that you would not imagine interacting with each other just by a simple get-together over food. And we must acknowledge, and this is a hallmark, and mashallah, of us as Muslimin and mu'mineen in this country, that if you look at the social media platforms, it became very apparent that those who were feeding and those who were being generous to those who were in strife and struggling were mu'mineen and Muslims. We may shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He afforded us this opportunity. Because this aspect of feeding is an aspect of da'wah without words. How many a people, they may reject an argument with regards to our deen, but very rarely someone can reject a sincere act of kindness to them. So very important. These are, you know, we'll say 101 in building relationship. But the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw it vitally important at this juncture in establishing the Islamic state, to mention the simple ingredient for mahabba, unity in establishing a state. He said, أطعم الطعام. So Allah give us tawfiq that we should actually partake ourselves, because one is to fund these things, but when we interact with people that are less fortunate than us, there are many lessons, there are many benefits for us. Like we begin to understand how blessed we are, how Allah has showered us with such bounty. It teaches us humility, gratitude. So this aspect of at'imu at-ta'am is wide-reaching. The next thing the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam speaks about as a building block of this Islamic state is wasilul arham. Wasilul arham, wasilul arham is joining of family ties. This is a bayan on its own. This is a talk on its own. But the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw it very important to mention this important aspect in building the Islamic state at this point. And why not? The Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that whoever wants his rizq to be increased, whoever wants his livelihood to be increased, his life to be extended, then he should try and maintain family ties. We live in a time where very trivial reasons lead to breakdown in relationships. The Nabi of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that family ties, that inna rahima shajanatun, that this family ties is like something that clings to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, deeply connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says that whoever maintains this family ties, I will maintain him. And whoever destroys and breaks down family ties, I will destroy. So this is the grave warning, and this is the importance the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam placed on this aspect of maintaining family ties. We know the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was inspired by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and these words with words for time immemorial, till the end of times. And the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is as if he knew that we live in an age where there is a direct attack on the family unit. There are ideologies in the world today that are leading to the fragmentation of the family unit. And we make shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that our deen is preserved in such a way that inshaAllah, if we hold firmly to the advices of the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then this family structure will never disintegrate. We see many communities around the world today Families have become non-existent for various ideologies. But very importantly, one of the problems that we do face today is that there are many things within us that are leading to the breakdown from within of our family ties. And we should put this as high priority. Because the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he put it as high priority. To mention it, number three of the four advices he gave to the Sahaba when establishing the Islamic State. In fact, the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to his extent and he says that لَيْسَ الْوَاصِلُ بِالْمُكَافِ that a person who maintains family relationship is not that he reciprocates family relationship. That means if someone is good to you, it's very easy to be good to you. If somebody is spending on you, it's very good to be thankful to them. But what is a true person who is maintaining this important aspect? The Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that the true person who is maintaining family ties is that person who his family has shunned him, who his family has broken down relationships with him, but he is striving to reconnect, reignite, rejoin family ties. This is the spirit of a mu'min. This is the spirit the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was imbibing into this very early Islamic state that he wanted to establish. This was the beautiful advice that was number three of the advices the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had given. Then the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then mentions the fourth advice. And the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as Ibn Rajab al-Hanbali, one of our great scholars, he says that this advice in this hadith is so balanced. The Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spoke to us about our social engagements and social interactions in the world. And at the same time, the Nabi of Allah, he emphasized this connection and this private relationship that we have with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Rasul of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, وَصَلُّوا بِاللَّيْلِ وَالنَّاسُ النِّيَامِ that we should be performing salah, this tahajjud salah, this qiyamul layl, while the people are sleeping. And you know, it's winter months now, it just brings to mind that winter is the spring of the believer. Really, winter is the spring of the believer because we are told that the nights are long and it's easier for us to perform the salah. Salatul Tahajjud, Qiyamul Layl, it's much easier because the nights are long, Fajr Salah is later, it's easy for us to engage ourselves in Qiyamul Layl. The Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam further tells us that we, each one of us has a need, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes down to the lowest heaven in the last third of the night. And the Nabi of Allah tells us that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then calls out, who is calling on to me that I may reply to them? Who has a need that I may fulfill? Who is seeking forgiveness that I may forgive? You know, often, as is the tradition in the world, when you need something, you need to go up to someone of authority. You need to go to someone who's got connections. But here, Allah is the master of all connections. Allah is the master of giving. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is availing Himself to us. This is the rahmah. This is arhamur rahimin. This is the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every night He comes down and He says, who is there that is calling out to me that I may respond? Who is there that wants something that I may give him? And who is there that is seeking forgiveness that I may forgive him? The Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam emphasized this so much. Our mother Aisha radiallahu anha says that the Nabi of Allah never left out Qiyamul Layl. Nabi of Allah, he says, أفضل الصلاة بعد الفرائض قيام الليل. The best salah after the farad salah is the salatul tahajjud. And what did Aisha radiallahu anha tell us? That the Nabi of Allah never missed the tahajjud salah. He never missed the qiyam al-layl. And if there was a reason that he missed it, if there was a reason due to illness or genuine reason that he missed it, he would make it up during the day of reading 12 rak'ah salah. This is the emphasis that the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he placed on this salatul tahajjud. While it's winter now and we have the opportunity, we should try and make it a habit. Like anything in life, if we perform it regularly, if we do something regularly, we have muscle memory, as they say, for it. We will get into the habit and it becomes easier as the months progress to continue in the habit of performing qiyamul layl. And then the hadith ends, تَدْخُلُ الْجَنَّةَ بِسَلَامٍ. If you implement these four advices, this is the recipe for entering Jannah with salam, with peace. Notice this beautiful hadith narrated by Abdullah bin Salam. It starts with Afshu Salam, it ends with Darus Salam. This is Jawami'ul Qalim, This is the amazing, unique feature of the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said a few words in a palatable way, in a beautiful way that we remember, and he gives us droves of wisdom and hikmah. So just to recap what we mentioned today, you know, the country has sighed a sigh of relief that what we expected, the worst case scenario, did not prevail. And we make shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We ought to make salatul shukr. But at the same time, we must not be like those who stick their head in the ground and wish away problems and as if nothing exists. We spoke about the fact that this rising agenda and propaganda of Islamophobia is a buzz in the social media spaces in the world out there. And we reflected that we as mu'mineen, we do not get bitten from the same hole twice. We've been through challenges before, and this challenge has allowed us to introspect and also put a reset on our lives and how we're going to move forward. We should not lose momentum with regards to this. And then we reflected on this beautiful hadith of the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he entered Medina Munawwara after the hijrah. And one would have thought that it would be a very political talk, a very political public address by the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But what did the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam leave us with? He left us with this beautiful hadith, أَفْشُ السَّلَامُ وَأَطْعِمُ الطَّعَامُ وَصِلُوا الْأَرْحَامُ وَصَلُّوا بِالْلَّيْلِ وَالنَّاسُ النِّيَامُ تَدْخُلُ الْجَنَّةَ بِالسَّلَامُ. That make salam widespread. Don't enter the masjid and walk out of the masjid not having greeted anyone. In our houses, we enter our homes. Do not enter your home and leave your home without salam. And look and introspect in our lives. Make salam widespread. أَطْعِمُ الطَّعَامُ. Become those who feed others. Become part of things. Let this ummah be known as those who help the downtrodden. And we understand the da'wah behind just doing kindness to people and being people who are generous to others. Rasulullah then mentioned a very another vital ingredient is wasilul arham, that we should hold on tightly to family relationships. Don't be the one that will be that missing link in a family. Always mend family relationships. If those who are breaking down family relationships, we try with hikmah to maintain these family relationships. And the Nabi of Allah then says, with regards to our private time with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, establish tahajjud salah. Make it a ma'mool in our lives. After we've seen what's gone, after we've turned to Allah in difficulty, Allah has given us peace and ease. Instill this beautiful sunnah of the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Reach out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the dead of the night. This will teach us sincerity. It will teach us and give us the strength to be merciful and to carry out the ahkams of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala during the day. We make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He allows the conditions to be improved firstly, and then to settle down and make us a means and make us part of a country that will have itminan and be means of da'wah and means of people being attracted to Islam and means of Islam flourishing in our part of the world. Akhiru da'wan alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.